You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're on 95BFM Breakfast, and we have got a very special guest in the studio. Kia ora, Sam Lowe. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. Thank you for having me. Oh my God, it's been such a long time.
It has. I feel like you're a voice that needs little to no introduction, but just in case there's anyone new here, Sam Lowe, wonderful ex-breakfast food host of 95BFM, and more importantly, Master Chef winner, wonderful sort of TV presenter at this point, and fantastic cookbook author, which I've got in my hands here, Modern Chinese, 70 plus easy everyday recipes from the winner of MasterChef NZ. How are you feeling about having this in the world?
Wow, it's out today.
It's so exciting.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. Yeah, finally.
It's beautiful as well. And it feels like a lot of love has gone into this from you, Sam. What was the experience of writing a cookbook like?
Oh my God, talk about therapy. No, so it's been a dream come true. I've always wanted a cookbook, but I didn't know what it was going to be, right?
Yes.
And setting out a task to write a cookbook, I was like, well, what's like the fundamental kind of thing behind this?
Mm.
Is it about community? Is it about creating accessibility? And it's all those things.
Yes.
And I walked in wanting to create a cookbook that was, you know, if I wanted to learn Chinese food for the first time, this is the cookbook that I want for myself, with accessible ingredients from New Zealand.
That's really cool. That's such a lovely, like, generous way to welcome people into your cooking world, basically.
Yeah, but I kind of stress that I am speaking from the lens of diaspora and from a Chinese Kiwi lens. And also, when we were writing this book, not only till the end, we were like, actually, this might be the second Chinese cookbook to ever come out of New Zealand.
Wow.
Which is wild.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That's really wild.
Yeah.
That is actually mind-blowing. Especially because Chinese immigration into New Zealand is one of the earliest immigration stories. That is crazy.
Yeah, since the 1840s,
during
the Gold Rush. So wild. And and writing this book, I was like, well, how can I make it accessible and interesting? So I was like, well, how can I create a pantry so that people can buy all the accessible ingredients, even from a Western supermarket, and cook almost everything from the book?
I love that it's like how when everyone got into Ottolenghi and then you have the Ottolenghi aisle in like bougie supermarkets. It's, you're doing the version of that where it's just like you could walk into any supermarket and you can make your own little Sam Lowe pantry at home.
Yeah.
But you don't need to necessarily buy like the super expensive pomegranate paste and stuff, which is yum, no offense.
No tea, no shade to Ottolenghi. So it's one of those things where I was like, well, how can you spend very minimal money, but cook almost everything and use all the pantry items as well, not like have that preserved lemons in the back of your cupboard for, a year. So that was a big part of it. But also I had like incredible like artists being involved in collaboration as well. Like the garments that I wore in the book for the photo shoots are all created by Stephen Park, who is a East Asian Kiwi incredible garment maker. I've got two of the most powerful Chinese Kiwi poets in New Zealand right now as well. I got ceramicists and really incredible makers involved.
One of the things I really love about this, Sam, is exactly what you're talking about. This is a cookbook you can read, which I really like. You know, a lot of cookbooks, you just open it specifically when you're looking to make the recipe that you want to eat. But you've actually put some really wonderful, personal essays and stuff in here as well. There's a lot of really beautiful writing. I really love the queer food essay and this is really lovely, and you talk about Chineseness in quote marks as well and what that means for you and in the kind of context of this diaspora food space as well. What was it like kind of framing it in that way? It must have been quite a personal process that you were going through.
Yeah, you know, I'm constantly on this journey and I feel like every project that I'm a part of is me trying to like make sense of who I am and where I'm placed in this world. And I think for me right now, it's like, well, how do I exist as a Chinese person outside of China? Like that's kind of like a big thing for me right now. And how do I kind of apply that to the craft and by meeting other incredible makers like poets and writers and makers, I was able to share a similar narrative, but I was able to do that within my craft.
Yeah. Oh, that's so special. And you've just come back. We were just chatting about this off air, but you've just come back from an amazing trip to the States.
Yeah.
Tell us a wee bit about that experience, because that sounded like it was quite amazing.
Yeah. So I went to Vancouver and San Francisco, like a month ago. My poor bank account. Vancouver, I used to live there. I lived there for a year, like about 5 years ago. So it was really nice going back to visit. But with a very different lens, right? So,
totally.
You know, I met a lot of Chinese Canadians that are in media and and are in the film space, and they've just got like a way larger budget and resource, right?
Totally.
So the things that they make are so much different. Like, I met the people who are in Joyride and things like that. So yeah, and then in San Francisco I got to meet like two of my food heroes of like all time. And
who was that?
Brandon Ju, who runs a Michelin star Chinese restaurant called Mr. Ju's in Chinatown in the heart of San Francisco, and we were like shopping at the farmer's market for half the day for his restaurant. It was incredible.
Oh my gosh, that would have been such a cool experience.
Amazing. And it was just like, yeah, we realized that we're just peers, and we're just trying to tell the same narrative. Because one thing that he did say to me was that when he was discovering his Chineseness, he went to Shanghai to do a little stint and work at a restaurant, and very quickly he realized that he's not Chinese, but he's Chinese American. And I was like, yes, like, same, I'm Chinese Kiwi Fijian. You know, so it's like, yeah, we need those type of trips and journeys and meeting these incredible makers too.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a special thing. Who was the other person that you met in San Francisco?
Yeah, the other person, incredible. Their name is Saleh Ho. They were the head food critic of The Chronicle, which is the biggest publication in San Francisco. And San Francisco is like a huge foodie city. So if you're into food, like, you know who Saleh Ho is. Yeah, I was telling people I'm meeting up with Saleh, and people were like, no one gets to meet Saleh. Who are you? And I was like, I'm just a passionate foodie. Like,
I'm just a food nerd from New Zealand.
Yeah. Saleh, you know, was boundary pushing, one of the first POC queer food critics in that stature in America. And, you know, did really, you know, controversial things, like write about the consumption of dog meat around the world and all these types of things that was just like groundbreaking for the food media space. And did a couple of podcasts, one called The Racist Sandwich and the other one called Extra Spicy. I think everyone should listen because it's incredible.
Both fantastic names for podcasts, by the way. Very, very good. The Racist Sandwich is a fantastic name for a podcast.
Yeah. I got to meet Saleh, and they just told us what they're excited about, what they're working on. AI seems to be like the biggest thing right now, but I guess, you know, Silicon Valley, and I get it. Like,
That's the San Fran.
Yeah.
That's the nexus of it all going on over there.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like you've had a really amazing experience in the lead up to this. Now that you've got the cookbook out, what's your goal or your hope for it? What are you sort of hoping comes out of this book being in the world?
I think just to promote more dialogue about kind of this way of like celebration and cultural fluidity, you know? And
totally.
I think if we stop gatekeeping tradition and create new traditions and allow people to like kind of draw inspirations from their lived experience and create new, I think we would have like a new kind of era of food movement in New Zealand. And I think it's time as well. And you see that around the world, especially in North America. I just want to inspire and chat and meet other like-minded people.
I'm so excited for you, Sam. It is, as you said, out today on shelves in bookshops. It's so exciting. It's out via Allen & Unwin, lovely publisher. And it's a beautiful book, super accessible. I think that it would be an absolute asset to anybody's cookbook collection, and also just really lovely to read as well. Do you have any favourite recipes or favourite moments in this book that you're like, this one's a bit special, or something that you think people should keep an eye on?
I mean, the one I keep referring to is like the congee section, and I've spoken about congee on the breakfast segment before. And it's like basically a savoury rice porridge, but so much of like what I've learned about Chinese eating is rice and broth, but this is basically the two put together. So it's ultimate comfort food, really incredibly nostalgic for me. But I don't think the book is about favourite recipes. It's about building a favorite pantry, you know, that you can use throughout the entire book.
I'm so excited to cook some of these. It's the terrible thing of I'm looking at it and I haven't actually eaten my breakfast yet, and it's making me really hungry, Sam. Wonderful book. Congratulations on Modern Chinese. Sam Lo, it's so nice to have you back in the studio.
Oh my God.
So excited to see what you do next.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. See you soon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.